It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
I have done about four hours of various audio media talking about the 49ers-Rams game.
Yeah.
I've done several posts about it at NinersWire.com. And I will confidently say that in my opinion, the 49ers' 27-24 loss to the Rams yesterday at SoFi Stadium was the single worst loss of the Kyle Shanahan era, regular season edition. Obviously, losing in the NFC title game or losing a Super Bowl is worse than losing a game in week three. And I think it's important, too, to, I'll say this a couple of times throughout the show, the season's not over. They can still make the playoffs. They can still make a run, all that. They're obviously banged up, and I don't think that what they look like now is what they're going to look like in week 10. Okay, that's on the table. Now we're focused on week three. What a train wreck!
Yeah, that was a mess.
Yuck!
That was messy. It was messy. I don't agree that it's the worst loss. I don't know which one is.
Oh, okay, perfect.
But that's okay. Like, we can battle it out on whether this was, like, the worst loss. I think it was a bad loss.
Okay.
But I also think that there are so many reasons why. Like, there are excuses and there are reasons.
Sure.
And I thought they had reasons why this game went the way it went. And, you know, again, they should have been better. They should have figured it out. But at the end of the day, both teams are missing a bunch of players. But it's how teams deal with missing players that I think matters. And I don't think they dealt. I don't think they're dealing with the players they're missing all that well right now.
I think so. Here's what's interesting about that is I didn't think the offense was a problem yesterday. There were a couple of plays they could have made, and we'll go through it. I have eight plays that I want to run through.
Okay.
That really led to the building blocks of that disaster. But I didn't come away from yesterday's game going, wow, they need more help on offense. Like, obviously, they'll be better once Deebo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey and George Kittle are in the lineup. No doubt. Like, that just without question. But the reason yesterday was so bad for me is because, okay, so there's only so many seasons we can pick from.
Yeah.
2019, I didn't think they had any bad losses. They went 13-3.
Okay.
And they lost to the Ravens in Baltimore on a last-second field goal, and they lost an OT to the Seahawks. Like, it was just, there weren't any, like, bad losses. 2021, you have a two-point loss to Green Bay. It was tough. For sure, but they were 2-0 going into that game. You had the 28-21 loss to Seattle. That was a game where Trey Lance had to come in because Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt, and the Seahawks just kind of pulled away. They were just a better team that day. The Niners lose 17-10 to the Cardinals in Trey Lance's starting debut.
Mm-hmm.
They had the bye week. Here's a contender for me. They lost 30-18 to the Carson Wentz Colts at home coming out of their bye week.
Yeah.
That's bad. That dropped him to 2-4. But the reason that yesterday sticks out to me as the worst loss of the Kyle Shanahan era is because when you go look at that box score, the box score doesn't say loss. It No. wasn't like the Niners just didn't have it and they got outplayed. They were up 14 twice. They were up 10 in the fourth quarter with less than half a quarter left. There are so many plays that we're going to go through here that were just there to be made that they just didn't make. And to me, the reason this is so bad is that this is a continuation of last week where you went, man, they just didn't. God, a couple of plays just, oof. They just got outplayed. Just got away from them. There was no reason yesterday should have gotten away from them, but then it did. And this is where, when you talk Super Bowl hangover, this is where it manifests to me. This is a team that did not come out with the same energy that we might have seen in previous years where they go, all right, hey, bad loss, not a bad loss in the sense that we're talking about, but, you know, lost to Minnesota, didn't play great, division game against a beat-up Rams team, a team that's more beat-up than us, like, we're going to go take this one, is the attitude that I was expecting them to come in with. And then they go up 14-0. And you're going, there it is. Like, man, they're cooking today. This is the Niners that I know. But then that pressure builds, and there's, I think, this internal pressure to know. Debo Samuel said it's now or never. It's this year or it's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
And that internal pressure builds up. So when one small thing goes wrong in a game, when Justin Jefferson scores a 97-yard touchdown against the Vikings, or for the Vikings, it's like, oh boy. Like, oh, now the pressure really ramps up. Yesterday, the Rams convert a fake punt on 4th and 6 from their own 43. And it's, oh man. Oh boy. Now there's just outsized pressure that the 49ers are putting on themselves because they know, like, hey, last year was the prime opportunity to win a title and they didn't do it. And now they've got this now or never, it's got to happen this year vibe. And that makes games like this exponentially more difficult because you do not have, you're not giving yourself any margin for error.
Yeah, I totally agree that there's no margin for error. And I agree that you can't drop games early in the season. I don't think the Vikings are a better team than they are. I don't think the Rams are a better team than they are. But at the same time, I look at the accumulation of things. Like, number one, the injuries have hit them hard,
mm-hmm.
right? And just because you only have injuries on the offensive side of the ball doesn't mean that that doesn't impact your defense.
Okay.
Right? So mm-hmm. there are multiple times this in the last two games where their defense let them down greatly. But also, by not sustaining drives, their offenses let their defense be on the field probably more than they should have been.
Mm-hmm.
But even like the defensive issue is a bigger problem to me than like what you were saying about the offense. Like the offense, yeah, they were fine. I thought that wasn't sure. They could have won the game if Ronnie Bell catches a ball.
Sure,
that's just straight up. And I get that everyone wants to support Ronnie Bell, but at the same time, they should support him. You know,
he shouldn't.
In a different
he shouldn't.
Way.
He.
Yeah.
I don't. Ronnie Bell is the 7th play in this list of 8 that I have here.
Yeah.
And was that a huge spot? Like, no doubt. And that's why I'm not going to argue with you if you think that was the biggest play. Like, no doubt.
Yeah.
He catches that. They're in 43-ish yard field goal range. Mm-hmm. They're going to have time to pick up more. They're by the end of that, they're kicking something inside of 40 yards to try and win it. Like, no doubt. And should Ronnie Bell be on the field in that situation? No. Should Ronnie Bell be on the team anymore? Probably not. Because if he's not catching that ball, what is he doing for you?
No.
Because he's very clearly not making plays on special teams.
Nope.
So I get the harping on the Ronnie Bell thing, and we will get to that for sure. But to me, this starts with, I'm going to start at the top here. Like I said, I've got 8 plays. And by the way, Raider fan that thinks you're escaping smoke,
yeah.
No. we'll get there. But Brandon Ayuk, here's the first play. Brandon Ayuk drops a 3rd down in the, I didn't have this written down. Hang on. Where is it? 2nd quarter, 9:08 left. The Niners have a 3rd and 4 on their own 40. Brock Purdy hits Brandon Ayuk. Tre'Davious White might have gotten a hand in to break it up, but either way, that's a contested catch that we saw Juwan Jennings make 4 times.
It's that's 2 weeks in a row that he's, well, no. Week 1, he had the same exact drop.
Yes. Where it's ball in his chest, there's a hand and a defender there, but like, dude, you're paid to make that catch.
Yes.
You are not Ronnie Bell. You are not Ricky Pearsall or Chris Conley or Jacob Cowing or any of these other receivers. You are Brandon Ayuk. You held in to make $30 million a year. You left a contract on the table because you wanted guaranteed money in that 4th year. You were purposely a pain in the ass. Okay, that's fine. Get your bag. Get your money. Do everything you can to get your money. But then you got to go perform, dog.
Yep.
And that specific play, it might not get logged as a drop. That's one you got to have. Flat out.
Yeah, and it's too many times already. Like, I'm sick and tired of it already. And I'm sick and tired of seeing him on the sidelines. They keep panning to him on the sidelines.
Horrible body language.
And he's got this look like, poor me, poor me. No, bro. It's you. It's not anyone else. Juwan Jennings is out there going beast mode.
Balling.
And you're dropping balls. You're not getting open. You're not getting the separation you need. And you can complain whatever you want. Like, it's there's only one person to blame in this situation.
Yep.
And it's you.
Yep.
So, I mean, I get it. But at a certain point, like, the accountability has to be there. And, like, look, he's a great wide receiver, but you just got, you're not even, like, in the game plan almost. At this point,
do you blame Brock Purdy for not trusting him right now?
No.
I don't either.
No, I'm throwing to Juwan Jennings. Like, he threw it to him 12 times. He should have thrown it to him 16 times.
Yeah, man.
Like, you needed a couple more. And I think that's one of those things where, like, we can talk about the Ronnie Bell situation. But again, you shouldn't be throwing a ball to Ronnie Bell right there. And I get it. That's the route that you had a player.
It was
also open.
A dot.
Like, you were open. And I don't want to hear Brock Purdy sit there and say, oh, I could have thrown a better ball. No, bro. You put a ball exactly where it needed to be for, like, a 30-yard gain, and your team would have won the game if it wasn't for one guy dropping the ball again.
Yeah.
But it comes down to this problem that we saw it, you know, a couple of years ago. Third down, huge third down play. You throw it over the middle to what? Ray McLeod drops the ball. You throw it to, what was it?
Charlie Werner?
Ricky James.
Oh, Richie James, yeah.
Richie James. Like, what are you doing? Like, crucial moments, that's where big-time players come up.
Sure.
And you got to know who your big-time players are and who your guys are going to wilt. I don't mind him throwing the ball to Ronnie Bell in the first quarter. And if he drops the ball in the first quarter, oh, well, it happens. But overall, you got to find the right guy at the right time. And Brandon Ayuk has to be that guy because that's what he's getting paid to be.
Yep. So Brandon Ayuk has that big drop on third down in the second quarter.
Yep.
And listener might be like, hey, why are you calling out that third down drop in the second quarter when so much went wrong in the fourth quarter? Because that drop ended the 49ers drive. They punted away to the Rams. That leads us to our second big play. Second quarter, 6:22 to go. The Rams have a 4th-and-6 on their own 43-yard line. The 49ers lead 14-0. The Rams, to this point, have not done anything offensively. They've yet to cross midfield. They've run 10 offensive plays. It was more than that at this point. It was 14 or 15 offensive plays they'd run at this point. But they hadn't scored. They hadn't threatened to score. Niners defense is rolling. They get them into a 4th-and-6. Prime fake punt territory. On 43, nothing to lose, down 2 touchdowns, you're at home. Kyle Shanahan said after the game that they were expecting a fake punt, that they had the call on to stop a fake punt. The problem is, if you watched, they didn't stop the fake punt. The Rams pick up 7 yards on a direct snap to Ronnie Rivers, the running back. He goes around the left edge. Finds 7 yards. It's a first down, Rams. That catalyzes a 16-play, 87-yard touchdown drive for the Rams that gets them back into the football game. Just an abject disaster on special teams.
Yes, they're a disaster on special teams, but it speaks to the larger problem that they've had the last couple of weeks. They just can't get off the field. They get third and long and even 4th and long, and you're not getting off the field.
Nope.
So I don't know if the defensive coordinator needs to come down from the booth and coach from the sidelines again.
He's already not in the booth.
Or if he needs to go back up to the booth, a different guy needs to go to the booth and mix it up again. I don't know what has to happen here.
Yep.
But again, the lack of execution to get off the field and get your offense back on the field is absolutely ridiculous.
I think I don't like saying that a person should be fired, so I'm not going to say anybody should be fired. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a change coming for the 49ers at special teams coordinator.
Oof.
Brian Schneider's been there for the last couple of years. It hasn't been pretty. I've never felt confident in anything the Niners are doing special teams-wise. And the fact that Kyle Shanahan, after the game, comes out and like, yeah, we were expecting the fake punt. We just didn't get the edge. Like, that's bad. I hate using the term inexcusable because I think it gets misused a lot and overused. Oh, I missed a three from the corner. That's inexcusable. Well, sometimes you're going to miss.
Yeah,
it just, great shooters hit 38%. Right. So, it's inexcusable to fly out in that situation. Like, yeah, well, there's a fastball up. He thought he could hit it. He missed it a little bit. It happens. It is inexcusable when you're expecting a fake punt to allow the opposing team to pick up the fake punt.
Yes.
That cannot happen.
No.
It cannot. Run your defense out there. I don't care. Go get a stop. So that was the play. That was the moment that when I was watching, because to this point I'm going, oh, they're cruising today. Like, this is a 3-score win. And then they get the fake punt successfully. And it was like, uh-oh. Well, they're scoring on this drive for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Because defense got off the field. Defense feels great about itself. Now it's like, oh, I got to go back out there. And sure enough, the Rams just grind the Niners' defense into dust and route to a touchdown. It's now 14-7. The 49ers answer. Hey, Juwan Jennings, third touchdown of the game. It's 21-7. We're into the third quarter now. We're more than halfway through the third quarter. The Rams start a drive with a false start on Alaric Jackson, their left tackle. Moves him back 5 yards. First and 15 at their own 25. Niners are back to cooking, right? Wrong. Matthew Stafford airs one out deep down the left sideline to wide receiver 2-2 Atwell. Isaac Adams there in coverage.
Mm.
He's there. He's with him. Atwell's faster, had a step, but he's there to make a play. And tackles him. Inexplicable.
Twice that happened in that game where they just had a big play and the person just tackles a wide receiver.
I playing cornerback is hard, and I get that he's not trying to tackle the guy for a 46-yard penalty, by the way.
Mm.
46 of the Rams' 70 yards on that touchdown drive came on that penalty, which is why it sticks out to me. Because they're backed up at their own 25, and now all of a sudden they're in deep into 49ers territory because of this penalty.
Kyle, it once again, this is a trend. It's not a one-off.
Mm-hmm.
It's a trend. The Niners had the Vikings pinned at the 3-yard line and gave up a 97-yard touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
The defensive backfield has not been good at all. At all. The safeties have been bad. There's been some good play by Ward, but overall, mm-hmm. it's these mistakes in crucial moments. Again, not being able to get off the field on 3rd and 7, 3rd and 9,
mm-hmm.
again and again and again early in the season. And it's not just a defensive backfield.
Mm-hmm.
I'll pin, just like last year, we started this exactly the same way. If your defensive line is not going to get pressure on an aging quarterback,
problem.
What are you doing against an offensive line that is almost all of which is backups?
Mm-hmm.
If you're not going to be able to get the pressure necessary and you're going to have to start sending safeties and cornerbacks
yep.
on blitzes, there's a problem.
It's silly. It's so silly. So the Isaac Yadam flag sets up the Rams for their second touchdown of the game, makes it 21-14. On the ensuing drive, not on the ensuing drive. Fast forward to the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
There's 4 minutes and 14 seconds left. Leading up to this point, the 49ers got a 15-yard catch from Juwan Jennings, and then they go Jordan Mason for 9 yards on first down to make it 2nd and 1. Jordan Mason for 4 yards, first down. Niners have a 1st and 10 at the Rams 42. I'm doing postgame at 95.7 in San Francisco, and I'm sitting there with Mark Grandy, the host, and Carter, the producer, and Lorenzo Neal, who does pregame and was hanging out. Love L'Oneal. And I said, "It's like, this game's over." It's like L'Oneal the entire time had been like, they got to run it. And sure enough, they start getting behind Jordan Mason. They start running it. They're burning clock. And how many times have we seen the 49ers do this to teams?
Mm-hmm.
Where late in the game, they're just grinding you down, and they're going to go get 5, 6, 7 yards of pop. And then, oh, there's a 20-yard run. And they just break the opposing team spirit. That's what happened in this moment to me. And I said to that room full of people, I never do this, by the way. I went, this is over. Like, this game's done.
Now it's your fault.
Seven-point game, 4:14 left, Niners 1st and 10 on the Rams 42, and they're wearing them out. And sure enough, the next play, and this to me is the biggest turning point of the game.
Mm-hmm.
They toss it left to Isaac Arendo, who gets the edge. He picks up 5 yards, goes out of bounds. Not great, but not the end of the world. Holding on Kyle Juszczyk. And that holding call on Kyle Juszczyk, and again, I know that people want to talk about Brandon Ayuk and Securing to Bagley sent me a Rich Madrid tweet. Rich Madrid is a Niner fan who does a lot of film stuff, pointing out that the Ayuk drop we talked about was not actually a drop. Okay, fine. But this was the play that we can talk about Brandon Ayuk. We can talk about Ronnie Bell. We can talk about Jake Moody's missed field goal. We can talk about the defensive line in the secondary. This is the one that, like, oh, this is where the game flipped. Because instead of first and second and five at the Rams 37, the Niners have a first and 20 at their own 43. I'm sorry, their own 48.
Mm-hmm.
And now they have to throw it. And now, instead of having a short field goal to make it a two-score game inside of like 3 minutes, they have a 55-yard field goal, which we all know this is our next play that Jake Moody misses. First miss of the year. Just a bad time to have your first miss.
Yeah. Push it right.
Just, I've been really hard on Jake Moody because he was the number 99 overall pick. I'm not going to drag the kid because he missed a 55-yarder.
Yeah, it's tough.
He shouldn't have been put in a spot where he's having to kick a 55-yarder.
No, it's on the offense. Go give him another 7 yards.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, just put him in better range.
That's it.
I mean, that's, again, it's tough, but you also set up because of the 55-yarder. That's where the Rams take over, and now they have great field possession. Mm-hmm. And now it's just go down and score your score.
Yep. Yeah. So the holding on Juszczyk, the missed field goal, obviously sets up the Rams with a first and 10 on their own 45. Niners still lead by 7, 2:43 to go, and this gets to what you were talking about earlier. Go get off the field. Go, you know the Rams are in 4-down territory. Go get 4 stops against Tyler Johnson and Jordan Whittington and Colby Parkinson and Tutu Atwell and DeMarcus Robinson. Go get a stop. Go defensive line where Javon Hargrave, Nick Bosa, Leonard Floyd, Yeter Gross Matos, all these dudes got paid. Go get the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't go get the quarterback. In fact, they did the one thing you can't do in this situation. And this is our next play. Matthew Stafford on first down hits Tutu Atwell for 50 yards to set up a first and goal at the 5. Inexplicable from Tre'Varius Ward. In fact, you know what? I'm going to use this word again. Inexcusable from Tre'Varius Ward. A 49ers defense that's mantra has been like no big plays. We're going to make it so you can't get big plays against us.
Yeah.
In the spot where you cannot give up a big play. Tutu Atwell doesn't even do like a hard double move, just like stutter steps. And Tre'Varius Ward, for whatever freaking reason, sits, stops his feet, and Atwell flies right by him. And Tre'Varius Ward, 2 steps late. If the ball is a little bit better throw, it's probably a touchdown. Atwell had to come back for it a little bit, which is why Tre'Varius Ward was able to get him on the ground.
Yep.
And the Rams score a couple plays later to tie the game. I was flabbergasted by that. Tre'Varius Ward, I thought, has been good to start the year. That is a catastrophic mistake.
Yeah, it's like when you're in a 2-3 run ball game and in the ninth inning, that's like if you played shallow in the outfield.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do? You have to play
no doubles.
No doubles. Mm-hmm. Like it's a basic concept. Nobody gets behind you. That's the rule. Nobody gets behind you. And they just let him behind him.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's more of a trend mm-hmm. than it is a one-off because same exact thing happens in the Vikings game. You just keep going back again and again to these moments where they make the game more difficult on themselves.
Yeah.
I don't know, Kyle.
Tre'Varius Ward's worst rep of the year by far for me. I want to put a pin in this... in this discussion because we've only got a few minutes left and I want to dig into the last couple of plays here.
Okay.
So we're going to put a pin in the 49ers because we got to talk about the Raiders momentarily. Was their loss worse than San Francisco's?
I know. We don't need to break it down play by play. Yeah, that's just, it's just unbelievable. It really, if you had any hope of being a legitimate team at all this season, you don't lose to the worst team in football and just get embarrassed.
I understand they were better with Andy Dalton starting. I didn't expect the Raiders to go blow them out by 30.
Yeah.
I expected them to win, though. Andy Dalton's a good player. I made this case on Friday. Andy Dalton doesn't suck at football.
No.
Is he a backup at this point? Like, yeah, on a good team, probably.
Yeah, I mean, the Chicago Bears are 2-1 or maybe even 3-0 if they have Andy Dalton instead of Caleb Williams.
Mm.
I mean, like, look, if you had just the steady hand there And I'm not saying he's a great quarterback, just a steady hand and a great defense mm-hmm. and really good offensive players, you'd be okay. I don't think it will carry over, but the fact is, like, look, you can't just get stomped by a team that has looked so incompetent through the first 2 weeks of the season. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, what does this even make Chase Young look even that much worse?
Bryce Young.
Yeah. Bryce Young.
Yeah, Chase Young did a lot of looking bad last year for the Niners.
Yeah, he did. And now, but Bryce Young went from looking bad to, oh my gosh, you're that bad?
Yeah.
That Andy Dalton is the answer?
Andy Dalton, 26 of 37, 319, 3 tutties.
Yeah, he hasn't been the answer to any trivia question in 10 years.
The reason this is so tough for me is not that I thought the Raiders are going to win the Super Bowl or anything like that, but they go get a really, really excellent win in Baltimore last week.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel so good about, like, man, you get that win against Baltimore, the comeback, what a game. Now you get the worst team in the league in your home opener. You should be, and not even a team that's going to travel particularly well.
No.
Not even a team where it's like, man, this is going to be like a Vikings home game. Right? Like, this is prime opportunity to win. You go 2-1, you get that momentum going, and this is where I think Antonio Pierce can really thrive and really cook, and like, man, the vibe is just going to be nuts.
Mm-hmm.
To go not just lose that game, but to get waxed. They lost by 14, and it wasn't even that close.
Not even close.
They were down 33-7 in the fourth quarter.
Kyle, you went from the week before having Gardner Minshew be the guy who just led you to victory against the Baltimore Ravens mm-hmm. to, is Gardner Minshew going to be the starter in week four?
Yeah.
That's how bad you did in 1 week. 1 week.
Just,
you created your own controversy. I don't even know why.
Brutal, dude.
Just horrible. Horrible. Ridiculous.
I can't wait to see how this plays out with Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell. But Antonio Pierce said after the game that some players made business decisions late in the game, and the Raiders would be making the corresponding business decisions on Monday.
Hey-oh.
So I'm thrilled to see what's going to happen in Vegas. And this is where I think the Raiders are at. I expect them to bounce back at some point. I don't think they're going to win 3 games. I think they're going to, I still think they're going to win a handful of games here. But this idea that they're going to stick around and be in playoff contention, I'm out.
Yeah, because if he can't win this one, this is a gimme.
This is a prime, and again, this is not, Andy Dalton doesn't suck. But the Raiders top to bottom are way better than the Panthers top to bottom. And I know you lose Malcolm Kuntz this week. That's a massive loss. He was such a good player for them. I understand that loss has an impact, without question. But there's just no reason to give up 36 points to the Carolina Panthers.
No. No. You almost have to try. I mean, it's just, again, I don't want to harp on the Raiders too much just because they are who they are.
That's it. And that's what's disappointing. It's like, man, they're just kind of,
man, you beat the Ravens last week.
Felt so good about the direction.
Right? Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Luckily for the Raiders, the 49ers loss to me was worse than theirs yesterday. We were going through all the bad plays. We didn't even get to the two worst ones. We'll do that. But also, we'll have some silver linings as well as we talk about week 3 of the NFL. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen, and we're the Insiders, hanging out with you till noon and sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Leader. Oh.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Wait for the voice guy. Okay, voice guy, hit us.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Yeah, he's James, I'm Kyle. Shout out to Jiffy Lube. Rams 27, 49ers 24. We'll get to the good stuff from the game. There, I thought there were a couple of silver linings for mm-hmm. sure.
Yeah.
But we got to get to the two big plays at the end. We've been rolling through all the bad stuff that happened.
Okay.
En route to a colossal 49ers collapse. Next up, after the Rams tied the game, the 49ers are cruising down the field with a chance to win the game because the Rams scored so quickly because the Niners gave up a 50-yard completion on first down. Niners cruising down the field. And they have a first and 10 at their own 43. And Brock Purdy hits, tries to hit Brandon Ayuk. Okay, I'm in the right spot. I wanted to make sure I was in the right spot of the playlist. Second and 10 at their own 43. This is the play we've talked about a lot. This is the play that a lot of people are harping on as the biggest play of the game. As Brock Purdy throws to Ronnie Bell down the right sideline, throws a dime. Really good throw. Ronnie Bell flat out drops it. Flat out. No other way to put it. Drops it. 49ers go to third and 10. Brock Purdy scrambles up the middle for a couple of yards on third down. Niners have to punt. And this is where the Ronnie Bell drop is such a massive play just because, A, he dropped it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was, he dropped it at the NFL officially had it at 31 yards was how far down the field he was when he didn't make the catch. So let's say he catches that. The Niners are 7-24, the Rams 26 at that point. A 43-yard field goal, max.
And it's first down.
And it's first down. They're inside of a minute. Like, they're going to be able to run the clock. I think the Rams have one more timeout. Yeah, they're going to be able to run the clock to well under a minute if the Rams don't take a timeout. I mean, they're in a prime position if Ronnie Bell catches that ball. But here's the Ronnie Bell's not it, man. Ronnie Bell is not that guy. We've known it now for 2 years. Like, this is just not, he's not the player you want in that situation. And I get that injuries are part of it. I get that there's no Deebo Samuel and there's no George Kittle.
Mm-hmm.
But why Ronnie Bell in that spot over Chris Conley? Or Jacob Cowing, who didn't get on the field yesterday again? If you're going to, and this is my, I'm zooming out from the game itself here.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to zoom in a little bit on Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan's philosophy is we draft players who touch the ball and score the touchdowns. And with offensive linemen, we just need to have five serviceable dudes. And if he can get a Trent Williams, great. But as long as they're starters, they don't need to be all pros. As long as you have five serviceable dudes up front and they give the quarterback time to get the ball to the guys who make the plays,
mm-hmm.
We'll take the guys who make the play. That's fine. I get it. I totally understand that philosophy. It actually makes sense. I buy into that idea. But if you're going to forego, let's just pick a round. I don't know, the fourth round. If you're going to forego an offensive line prospect who might be able to compete at, let's say, right tackle with Colton McKivitz, who was dreadful yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Again.
Or if you're not going to draft a player who you think can compete with Jake Brendel, your journeyman center, who's not been great, and you're going to go get a player who will score touchdowns and make plays and have the ball in his hands, okay, that's fine. Put him on the field. Why isn't he playing then?
Yeah.
He missed a lot of camp. Okay, fine. But that wasn't like a complicated route. You can't say, hey, go over there, line up a little bit off the line, and then run by the guy. Give him a little stutter step and then just run by the guy. I know it's not that simple, but it is. Like, football at times is not that complex.
Mm-hmm.
And I would so much rather have seen Jacob Cowing or literally any other player on the roster running that route than Ronnie Bell. I don't understand it.
It's tough, and look, last season I was a Ronnie Bell guy. Mm-hmm. He had such a good camp last year.
He had a great preseason.
This year, this preseason, he was horrible.
Not good.
At all. Like, he shouldn't have made the roster. And there comes a point where you have to do what's right for everybody. And, look, if I'm going to sit here and trash Kadarius Toney because he can't catch the ball and he keeps giving away interceptions and call for him to be waived, then you have to do the same thing when a guy on the 49ers is doing exactly the same thing. There's a problem that I have with Ronnie Bell, and it's this. He's not decisive. What he did on that play was, it's not what a ball player does. Go and get the ball. Come back to the ball if you have to. He didn't need to leap. He didn't need to make some extraordinary looking play. He needed to just go grab the football and keep going. It's like he built up that he's going to go jump up in the air and make some Eric Byrne style dive in the outfield.
Great callback.
It's just that. It's the fake spectacular play guy. Man, just make the play. Rashi Rice, I watched him all weekend long for this the Chiefs. He runs to the ball, catches a ball, and then goes.
Mm-hmm.
There is no indecision at all. That's what I saw with Good Ronnie play. Bell. Like, I'm going to go jump up. Like, why are you jumping up? It's not a ball you need to jump up for. Just go catch the ball and keep going. But no, it's this, I've got to do something extraordinary as opposed to just the basics. And that's what I keep feeling like I'm watching with the 49ers. I'm watching a team that can't figure out how to do the basics, like get off the field on 3rd and 7.
Mm-hmm.
Just do the basics, man.
Yeah.
Just tackle. Just do the basics.
Yep.
And so for me, this is another one of those plays where you put the ball in the hands of a guy who showed all the way through preseason he was not good enough to play for a team that is as good as the San Francisco 49ers believe they are and yep. they should be.
Yep.
He's just not. I'm sorry. And I get it, Brock Purdy, you got your guys back.
Mm-hmm.
That guy just cost you a game. And what he could cost you is home field advantage. And what that could cost you is a chance to win a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So no.
I don't know why he's on the field.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so here.
Yeah.
Ricky Pearsall getting shot in the chest played a big role in Ronnie Bell sticking around, I think.
Probably.
He made the initial roster, but I think that the Ricky Pearsall, I'm just for injury, just for ease of argument here. The Ricky Pearsall injury is why Ronnie Bell is A, suiting up and B, on the team. Like that's I think it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we just talked about a player like Jacob Cowing or I guess Chris Conley, who's come up with some big catches for the Niners over the last, really last postseason and late last year. This adherence to players like Ronnie Bell, because like they know where to line up and, oh, they might be good blockers. I'm sorry, bro. I get that in the first quarter when you're really trying to scheme and hey, I want to make sure that we're not giving anything away about what we're going to do here. So we want to make sure our receivers can block like heck because we might run it, but we might also throw it. Okay, totally. In that spot, I don't give a damn.
Yeah.
And that's what separates, and again, this is zooming out from yesterday's game, but that's what separates coaches like Sean McVay, coaches like Andy Reid, I think coaches like Matt LaFleur and Kevin O'Connell, and pick your favorite good coach. That's where they separate themselves from Kyle Shanahan for me. Because how many times have you seen rando guy just go make plays for the Rams or the Chiefs or the Packers or the Vikings? It just, they put faith in their football players to be football players instead of going, well, the only way this play is going to work. Sorry. The only way I'm fired up. The only way this play is going to work is if the X receiver lines up at this exact blade of grass, because if he's a half yard off, then it's going to not pull the safety far enough away, and that doesn't open up the middle far enough. Like, get out of your head for a second and let the players go play. The yeah. game is about the players. The sport is about the players, and that's why players like Ronnie Bell, in the context of the NFL, Ronnie Bell is one of the best football players in the universe just by virtue of being in the NFL, no doubt. In the context of being in an NFL game and being a player that the 49ers are going to throw the ball to in a big spot, there aren't that many players worse than Ronnie Bell to be in that spot.
No.
And that they put themselves in that position, and again, the injuries, I totally understand. I totally understand that a fully healthy version of the 49ers, Ronnie Bell, is probably not even on the roster, much less on the field. I got it. But the situation they were in yesterday, they had other options.
You had a guy who had 12 targets for 11 catches for 175 yards.
And maybe I'm not putting enough on Brock Purdy, but He has the players who were on the field. They ran the play that was called, and he threw a dot to the wide receiver that should have been caught.
Yeah.
Like, that's where, I'm sorry, he gets absolved for me. He did the right thing. The receiver needs to execute.
No, I totally agree. Now, I would say, like, you got to go through your progressions and make sure you're throwing to the right guys.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, look, Brock did miss the bomb that he could have thrown to Ayuk.
For sure. Yep. Like, he wasn't perfect yesterday.
Yeah. But at the same time, I can't have multiple games over the last three seasons be decided because you threw the ball to a guy who isn't a top eight guy on your roster.
Yep.
A top eight wide receiver on your pass catcher on your roster.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, he's just not.
But honestly, I know if you're stacking up all the wide receivers on the Niners roster,
yeah,
I think I'd rather have Terrace Marshall on the field than Ronnie Bell. And he's on the practice squad. So
that's tough.
I don't even disagree if you say he's not a top eight receiver on the roster, because I don't think he is.
Yeah.
I'm not even done being mad yet. We got one more play to go, guys. We're reliving this whole thing. We talk about the word inexcusable and how it's overused. But I'm going to use it again. Because the 49ers, 4th and 8 at their own 45. Wright moved to punt, by the way. I saw not a lot, but I saw a couple of people on the internet. Like, you got to go for it. No, you don't. You absolutely punt that ball away. There's 55 seconds left. The Rams don't have any timeouts. You punt this away. You punt it out the back of the end zone. You punt it out of bounds. You punt it to the clouds so your coverage team has time to get down and force that guy to fair catch it. You do literally anything other than allow them to have a return of any kind.
Mm-hmm.
And not only do the Rams return it, but they get a 37-yard return from a player named Xavier Smith on his first NFL touch.
Mm.
And he goes 37 yards, gets the ball to the 50, and we know what happens from there. The Rams get into field goal range, and they kick the game-winning field goal with 2 seconds left. The blown punt coverage, to me, is even worse than the fake punt. If you're the special teams coordinator, you're going over to Mitch Wishnowsky on third down and going, hey, if we punt here, punt it out of bounds. I don't care where it lands. Get it out of bounds and make sure that they are somewhere deep in their own territory.
Yeah.
I don't care if you punt it out of bounds at the 25 or the 20, or you try and get it inside the 10 and it goes out the back of the end zone, whatever. Whatever is happening here, it cannot result in the Rams return man getting the ball to the 50, where they now need like 20 yards to get in field goal range. That's where, when I talked about earlier the Niners potentially having a new special teams coordinator by next week, that's the play. How does that? I don't understand how that happens.
Well, I mean, it's just like last week we didn't understand how a guy just let a guy run right up the middle and block a punt. You know, at least in this situation,
2 weeks in a row.
Hat tip to Mitch Wisnowski, who made the hit on the sidelines, as opposed to standing there and watching it like he did the week before. So shout out to him. I'd also say, like, the people on the internet who were like, go for it on fourth down, whoever was commentating that game, whoever was the analyst in that game, was like, well, you know, this is four down territory no matter what. And it's like, well, like, he said that right before.
Mark Sanchez said that.
Right before third down.
Insane.
Like third down might have even been playing, and you're like, no, it's not. Like, what are you talking about? This is not four down territory.
Yeah.
Like, unless you're just going to give away the game. Sure. Okay.
Or if it's 4th and 1 on their 48, where it's like, man, it's a little long for a field goal, but... man, we really think we can get this yard instead of punting it back to him. Okay, yeah. then maybe you discuss it. But no, that was no 4th and 8 on your own 45. No.
No.
No chance.
No.
What a mess, dude. What a just absent. From to blow two 14-point leads and then a 10-point lead with less than half a quarter to go is just...
yeah.
Against a team that's that beat up, and it's a division game, and it's a de facto home game.
And you could have put the Rams away.
And
the Rams would have been done.
Their season's over.
And now you're 1-2, and they're 1-2. You're like,
and the Seahawks are 3-0, by the way.
Whatever. Like, that's
That's a two-game lead in the division, man.
It is, but that's the worst 3-0 team I've ever seen.
I am just...
I don't know if it's the worst I've ever seen, but it's not a good 3-0 team. Because I think there are two of them, right? There are two...
Run back to the Rolodex.
Really, really bad 3-0 teams to start. Mm-hmm. And you're just looking at them like, I'm not quite sure. Oh, Pittsburgh. Yeah, Pittsburgh's the other 3-0 team. You're like, okay.
I buy Pittsburgh way more than I buy Seattle.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, but neither one of them have played anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought
the win yesterday for the Steelers was quality. Beating the Chargers, holding the Chargers to 10 points. I know Justin Herbert's dealing with an injury, but...
Yeah, Herbert's hurt.
I was impressed by the Steelers yesterday for sure. But yeah, not a team that I'm going, oh man, Super Bowl contender.
Yeah.
Definitely not. Let's put a pause on everything here. That's James. I'm Kyle. Jiffy Lube sponsors this program. We're the insiders. We're hanging out with you till noon here on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Leader for you. It wasn't all bad yesterday. I know it seems like that, but man, Juwan Jennings, 11 catches, $175. Is that what he finished with? $175?
175.
Oh my God. 175 yards, 3 touchdowns. And it wasn't like... I think the most impressive part for me was it wasn't like, oh man, he just got schemed open and he was running wide open the whole game. There were times he got open for sure. But the amount of contested catches he made, the one where he mossed the dude, I think it was, who was that? Was that Kobe Durant he did that to? Or might have been Cameron Curl, whoever it was. Moss is a Rams defensive back. Just goes up over the top and takes it from him. Had like a sliding catch in traffic. Had another catch where he's getting hit. Just an unbelievable day for Juwan Jennings, man. Salute. You're talking about players showing up in a big spot. It's hard to show up bigger than Juwan Jennings did.
Yeah, I think it was week one I sent you a text. I said signing Juwan Jennings to a 2-year deal might be like one of the best moves the Niners have ever made.
Yep.
Like, that dude is a flat-out beast.
Reminds me of the Dre Greenlaw contract a little bit.
Yeah.
Where they extended him early for 2 years on a super cheap deal. Yeah. It's a great call.
I mean, he's a huge wide receiver. He doesn't mind going up and getting the ball. Like, in the red zone, they should have been using him in the red zone for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm looking at him like, can you run two tight end sets with him? Can you find new ways to get him on the field more? Can you find new ways to get him involved going forward? Mm-hmm. And not only that, but if you're Deebo Samuel and you're looking at next year and not under contract, you got to start looking at what the alternatives are. And this is a guy who is just a huge target.
Yeah.
And found a way to get open again and again and again. I did not like, again... Not to bash on the telecast completely.
No, why do it.
They just kept
they great yesterday.
Panning to him like he's standing there. It's like bummed out, like standing there with a blank stare. It's like, hey, why do you keep panning to him? He's the one guy who's been incredible.
That's probably why.
I guess. I guess, but at the same time, it's like...
Eyes on Juwan Jennings again.
Why do we keep doing it? Why do we keep going back to him? I thought, like, look, you needed somebody to step up and... He stepped up in such a huge way and just showed you that there's potential for him to be so much more for this team.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that means he's going to catch 600 yards or 800 yards a season or whatever. Mm-hmm. He's still your third wide receiver. But my goodness, what a luxury to have a third wide receiver that's like 6'4", 225 and can go over the top. Like, that's a luxury right there.
Yeah, dude, he got drafted in the 7th round because he's slow.
Yeah.
He ran like a 4.7 something at the combine. But you can watch it. Go watch his college tape. It's like he turns every catch into a boxing match.
Yeah.
And he loves it. Like, that's what he thrives on, is that contact and that physical style. And you saw it yesterday. Just for context, he had 3 touchdowns yesterday. He had 2 touchdowns in his previous 31 games combined.
Whew.
You talk about using him more. 18 catches for 276 yards and 3 touchdowns this year. Last season, in 15 games, 19 catches for 265 and 1.
Mm.
He has, 11 more yards, 2 more touchdowns on 1 fewer reception this year. On 12 fewer targets.
Kyle, he's 3rd in the NFL in receiving yards.
Leading the NFL in receiving touchdowns.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm right there with you. When Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk and Christian McCaffrey and George Kittle are all in the field, Juwan Jennings is not gonna see a ton of action just by virtue of where he stands in the hierarchy.
Uh-huh.
But I absolutely think that this is where you start talking about like different wrinkles and different things the Niners can do. I think there's no excuse to not do more three wide receiver stuff.
Oh yeah,
he's too good and too valuable to just have on the bench when the team is healthy.
I totally agree, and I'm not joking. He's easily a big enough dude you can put him in the box and have him be a second tight end and run two tight end sets where you're throwing both of them out into a route.
They basically do that, right? They'll put him in motion where they'll snap it, like basically when he gets to where the tight end would line up, and then he's going downhill when he's turning the corner and he's hitting a defensive end or he's going to get in a linebacker or whatever. Like they use him like that. They've used him as a fullback where same deal. He goes kind of in motion and then they snap it where he's between the guard and the center. Mm-hmm. And he just starts moving downhill where he's getting a linebacker in the second level. And he's good at it. And that's part of the reason they like him so much is that physical style and that willingness to go block. But I think yesterday just showed, I think everybody knew, kind of like, man, Juwan Jennings is better than his numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Last year, 19 catches for 265. I thought he had 30-plus catches just because he's so impactful when he does touch it.
Lots of first downs last year. And then, yeah. I feel it's very similar to the way I felt with Jordan Mason after the first week.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, you're like, okay, how do we use him differently moving mm-hmm. forward? How do we make sure that we're getting him involved? This just mm-hmm. added a new wrinkle to what you're doing, and it could make you even that much better.
Yeah.
And so I'm here for it. I think he's absolutely, you know, one of the guys that I'm putting on the field. Again, once you're healthy, I never want to see anyone but those three wide receivers with him and Deebo and Ayuk in crucial situations and Kittle and then McCaffrey out of the backfield. I don't want to see anyone else getting thrown a third down ball.
Nope. Unless Kyle Juszczyk's wide open.
Yeah,
that's the one exception for me. That's the one exception for me. But other than that, I totally agree.
I don't want to see Conley. I don't want to see Cowings. I don't want to see Ronnie Bell. I don't want to see the backup to the back of Saubert.
Eric Saubert, yeah.
Yeah.
41 yards yesterday.
Yeah.
Watch out.
Look at that. Did you pick that one, Kyle?
No, I didn't. falling the half yard short on Jordan Mason was just brutal.
And you know, he got a yard.
Yeah, on that last play.
On the last play.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, it was like he got his eye. Oh, go 1 yard. Like no, get the ball back. Yeah, I got 3 out of 4.
That's amazing. Fine.
Fell half a yard short on Jordan Mesa. That's okay though. All right, shout out to Brass Picks. We got plenty more to dive into with this game. We got to talk about Brock Purdy. You mentioned Jordan Mason. I want to have a little discussion about Jordan Mason and the Niners' run game. Talanoa Hufanga was back. We talk about the Niners' D line. You had a spicy text to me yesterday.
Uh-oh.
About another non-49ers or Raiders quarterback.
Oh.
And we're going to cancel some people coming up as well. Plenty more to get into from week 3 of the NFL. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Center.